This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, shit. You know, you do it.
Hi, welcome to My Favorite Murder, the Minisode. That's Karen Kilgariff. I'm Georgia Hardstark. We're reading you your emails that you sent us.
Oh, the whole fucking thing?
Oh, you didn't want me to... Okay. Hi.
I
am...
Georgia
Hardstark. You
are...
Karen
Kilgariff.
Let's do it the whole time.
Together.
We are...
My favorite annoying
the shit out of you.
I was like, what are we together? Oh, my favorite.
Right.
Horrible beginning.
Beep boop bop. Let's start over.
Let's just start fresh here.
Let's start the podcast over.
The whole run?
The whole run.
Fuck.
Let's just go to the beginning. We'll do the exact same murders every episode.
So many book reports.
No, none, because we're going to do the exact same ones.
Oh.
We're going to read the exact same hometowns.
Oh,
everything's
like,
gonna be the same.
Just almost like a reenactment.
Yeah.
I love it.
Let's start.
And, ooh, what's this? A microphone?
This is when we're learning.
Ooh.
What a microphone is.
Oh, my voice. It sounds high. Now it sounds low.
Oh, my God.
This is like an answering machine. Okay, let's do this.
This is My Favorite Murder, Mason. Do you want to go first or want me to go first? Go first.
You want me to?
Wait. Do I have a good ending one? Do you have a good ending one or do I have a good...
No. Do you?
I have something that lands last. The last line is funny.
Okay, good. So I will start then?
Yeah.
Wait,
1, 2, 3, yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay. The subject line is, my uncle escaped from prison and murdered a cop, and there's a movie about it.
Holy shit.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Hi. Insert obligatory fangirl stuff here. Fully respect that. My fiance and I are going to your show in St. Louis in December, and we love you, etc., etc. My hometown murder is my grandmother's brother, so my great uncle. These took place in both Maryland and Louisiana. His name is Wayne Robert Feld, pronounced Feldy. I couldn't know until I got to that part of the parentheses.
F-E-L-D?
F-E-L-D-E.
Feldy. Okay.
Okay. He fought.
I get why you're laughing now.
I pronounced it incorrectly and then a moment later correctly.
No, that's part of the letter. You have to read it or you would be incorrect.
Yeah, that was my experience real time.
Yeah. Live it, learn it. That's our thing.
Thank you. Right. I'll never pronounce it incorrectly again. So Robert Wayne Feldy fought in the Vietnam War for 2 years, where his job was to unload the dead bodies of fallen soldiers from the helicopters that retrieved them.
You fucked up for life.
Wow.
Ugh.
Unbelievable.
Children. They made them do this too.
Yeah, that's right. I guess I can understand how that fucks you up a little. In 1972, Feldy shot and killed a coworker in a bar fight. When the police came, Feldy got into a standoff with the police and started firing at them.
Mm-mm.
He finally surrendered to his mom, my great grandma. She fucking came down and was like,
Feldy,
in the house dress.
Put your gun down.
Put that gun down right now. God damn it.
In a house dress that I now own.
Yeah.
That's right.
He was convicted of first degree murder and sent to a Maryland prison in 1973. 3 years later, 1976, he applied for parole but was denied, so he escaped from prison. He was on the run for 2 years.
Jesus.
He went to Louisiana, where his mom, my great grandma, was dying of cancer, and he was arrested again. While being transported in a police car, Feldy pulled out a concealed firearm, shot the officer in the groin, and killed him. During the trial, Feldy begged the jury to sentence him to death so he wouldn't kill again.
Oh my God.
Saying, it's happened twice in 8 years. Wow. He died by electric chair in 1988 in Angola prison in Louisiana. That place is supposed to be the worst.
Really?
Angola?
Mm.
Yeah. His last words were, You can call the messenger, but you can't kill the message.
What? You can kill the messenger is probably what she meant to write.
I think so, because it's clearly C-A-L-L.
No, I'm not saying you did it or anything wrong.
I'm very defensive about this. No. Yeah, that would make more sense. His last words were, you can kill the messenger, but you can't kill the message.
Ooh.
Fucking true.
That's creepy.
It's very true. My parents never told me about this until one day my dad mentioned the movie made based on this story. The shitty movie is called Beyond the Call. It stars Sissy Spacek and David Strathairn.
Wow.
Don't say it's shitty with those two superstars. No wonder I never really liked that side of the family, SSDGM Jordan. That's hilarious.
Oh my God, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Okay, this one is called My Cannibalistic Aunt.
Uh-oh.
With an exclamation mark.
Shit.
Hey there, Karen.
Surprised. Genuinely surprised.
Ah! Hey there, Karen, Georgia, Steven, and animals. My name is Erica, and I'm from one of those super crazy families where the self-proclaimed, quote, normal ones sit around during Christmas or some other festive activity and nonchalantly tell stories about the not-so-normal ones. A few years back, a couple of my family members and I sat around my grandma's celebration of life, only to have a very interesting discussion. While sipping juice from colorful bendy straws, my great aunt brings up the fact that my aunt, her name is Nikki, ate my cousin's organs.
What?
It turns out that when my cousin died 20 years ago from alcohol poisoning, Aunt Nikki had requested to keep his organs for, quote, religious purposes. This was before the law passed that made it so you can't request organs. And she is in no way a religious person.
What? Sorry.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm just trying to wrap my head around, like, for religious purposes. So then I bet you the authorities were assuming this is some strange religion we don't really know that well.
Just to bury them somewhere.
But here, of course you can have your...
We're not going to use them.
Yeah, we don't want them. We don't want to keep you from the thing you want.
Totally. It's yours.
Oy.
But no. Okay. Nikki then thought it would be a wonderful idea to store her diseased son's organs in her everyday freezer for years to come. There's a lot of exclamation marks in this story.
Yeah, I bet.
Underlining the fact that it's insane.
Yes.
Fast forward 15 years. She lost her home and ended up moving in with my grandma. One of my grandma's, quote, rules had been that she didn't want the organs of her grandchild in her freezer. Reasonable, reasonable request, I'd say.
Yeah.
So grandma went out and bought her a tree to plant her son under. When my aunt headed out to plant all the organs under the tree, she requested to go alone so she could have one last moment with her son for closure. My grandma, being the wonderful woman that she was, understood and went inside. 2 hours later, Nikki came back into the home, her face covered in blood.
No, I can't. I can't do this with you, Nikki.
She then announced that her son was one with her now and proceeded to vomit profusely into the bathroom toilet.
Yeah, bet she did.
Oh my God. Not one with you anymore.
No. No. Well, perhaps slight remainder.
Some part. Yeah, maybe a little bit. Now I believe that those guts went to her brain because a few months later, my grandma started to experience a lot of random illnesses such as vomiting and fever. She did, unfortunately, end up having a stroke on the floor of their home. My Aunt Nikki did call the police, but refused to let EMS into their home for 3 hours. By that time, my grandma had passed, and no one questioned a thing. Still to this day, I believe that crazy Nikki had done something to my grandma. The non-murderinos of my family chalk it up to old age. I guess we'll never know. Needless to say, she isn't invited to family functions anymore. Anywho, thanks for what you do. Stay sexy and stay away from cannibalistic family members. Love, Erica from Seattle, Washington.
Fuck.
Doesn't this come out the week of Thanksgiving?
Oh.
Great. Perfect. So here's what we're going to request.
Aunt Nikki, you bring a casserole, something simple,
store bought. Can we ask that Aunt Nikki sealed store bought? I want everyone sitting around their fucking family tables just to pry. I want you to pry because I guarantee there's some story that you haven't heard that no one just has thought of telling. But be subtle.
That's right. And also, as the years go by, the stories become easier to tell.
Right.
Because people, people die and it all lightens up a little bit and they can go, you know, oh, that's true. Well, here's the thing. Because, like, that's, you know, I think I told you this on the show, but for years, I just knew that my grandpa, my mom's father, died before, when my mom was like 19 or 20, yeah, before I was born. Later on, and it was almost like, almost conversationally, accidentally, my dad told me that he didn't just die, he was stabbed in a bar fight in an alley outside of a bar.
Oh my God.
Because he was like a lifelong hardcore alcoholic,
wow,
that fucked up their family over and over a ton of times, and then essentially was murdered in a bar fight.
Jesus Christ. Yes. And you just leave that out of the conversation.
Well, that was that thing where the Irish Catholics are very good at, like, you, everything gets left out of the, yeah, conversation unless you're in the inner circle, and then you know, you either know nothing or you know everything.
Right. Oh. Think crazy of a way to pry this story out of someone.
Yeah, you gotta, because that's really the stuff of life. That's really,
yeah,
and they'll be able to tell you. But that story is especially crazy because not only does she know that the crazy aunt was, mm-hmm, cannibalistic with her son's organs, but then she also suspects that she killed her grandmother.
Yeah. Like, that is one of those stories that it's just like, well, no wonder no one tells that one because it's, yeah, a little bit fucked, it's up, especially
beyond the pale. It's
beyond.
That's gonna you have to make sure that the story, yeah, the Thanksgiving dinner story, isn't gonna stop everybody short, ruin the pie, and then make everybody leave in quiet.
Yeah,
you want to kind of keep it light and bubbly.
Yeah. Okay.
We're still at a family party.
We're figuring it out still with you guys, but I feel like we're gonna get an influx of hometown murders on the Friday after Thanksgiving.
I'd love it. Well, also because I think everybody has to figure it out your own way. But I mean, it's not like we're against hearing a story like this.
No.
It's fascinating.
You
and
never
amazing.
Said stop.
No, never.
You said that's horrible, I hate it. But I never stopped because I didn't think you'd.
Well, also because that woman snapped. But also, those organs were not new.
The thought of 15 years, and then her mom knew about it and was just like, just don't bring them here. Like, that's how normal it was for everyone.
Yes.
You know?
And that's how not dealing with the actual deal she was, where she just went into this whole thing about a thing that has nothing to do with him anymore.
Nothing.
Your organs, that's like keeping someone's fingernail, yeah, clippings. It's just of no,
ugh.
I mean, you're just assigning the meaning to,
yeah,
it. Oh man.
And it's sweet that her mom was even like, I'm gonna let you bury them here in this, under this tree.
Right.
Like, that's so sweet.
Yes, it is.
And thought, and like, patient.
And then she comes in with blood around,
oh my
her
God,
mouth.
Like, he's one with me now, and then starts vomiting.
Oh shit.
Oh my God. I mean, God, at least cook them. All right, read.
Okay.
Read to me.
This section, this subject line is, the tale of the mini disco ball. Hi, Karen, Georgia, Steven, and all the furry creatures. I have a mystery that, well, I don't want to give it away. So, almost a year ago, my husband and I were driving from New York City to southern Vermont to meet up with some pals for our annual middle-aged creaky folks go skiing trip. And wouldn't you know, it snowed for about 5 to 6 hours of our trip. Not a problem for our good in the snow car until this trip.
Uh-oh.
The last hour was a true white-knuckle drive as we started to gain elevation and had to negotiate the mountains. I know it's New England, so they're mountains in quotes. With what was now a delightful mix of sleet and some other frozen crap.
Hell no.
Yeah, that's crazy. We were sliding around and the bounds of our relationship were momentarily tested.
I get it.
I offered some pretty pithy, unsolicited advice through gritted teeth along the lines of, could you maybe drive slower? Which was neither good advice, I admit, nor well received, he admits. We made it though and stopped in town for a well-earned beverage to calm ourselves before checking in. When we got back into the car, there was a mini disco ball hanging from the rearview mirror.
What?
Months earlier, we had somehow ended up with a mini disco ball in the car, as one does, and hung it from the rearview mirror as a gag, but we both agreed to banish it to the glove box as it was way too distracting. It did, though, remind me of my late mom, who, prim, proper, and waspy as hell, used to listen to the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack, aww, to get psyched up for work, much to my then 12-year-old's great eye-rolling mortification. When did you put this back up? I asked my husband. I didn't, he replied. No, you did. How else would it get there? I said. I started to get genuinely angry. Come on, don't mess with me. I'm really not. But then I realized how dumb that sounded, as he's a rock of a guy that would never do that to anyone. Not a joker, he. Also always locks the car up. Plus, we both reasoned, who would break into a car just to hang a mini disco ball from the glove box? Very true. We both immediately thought the same thing. Mom put it there to say, glad you made it. Have fun. Always be yourself. Aww. My hubby is a wicked sciencey guy with a romantic streak. Parentheses, dreamy, right? Yes. Who does not believe in ghosts. He does, however, believe that there very well could be a parallel universe that sometimes, could be parallel universes that sometimes intersect.
Aww.
Okay, I'm not the sciencey one. I'm the part-time poet. So we agreed to be amazed that somehow the mini disco ball ended up hanging from the rearview mirror again because, well, mom. SSDGM, thanks for the podcast. Now and forever wholeheartedly embracing her inner BG, Beth.
Cute. Well, now I'm going to cry. We should have saved that one for the last one. That's sweet.
Hey, Karen, you know that feeling when you're stressed out and your heart starts to pound and your mind is racing?
I do. I know it well.
Well, while there's no cure for stress, therapy can help shape your response to it. And since May is Mental Health Awareness Month, there's no better time to try Talkspace.
When you sign up for Talkspace, you'll receive a personalized match with a therapist or psychologist, typically within 48 hours.
Forbes rates Talkspace as the number one online therapy platform, plus their licensed professionals are in-network with almost all major insurance companies.
Once you meet your therapy goals, or if you want to cancel for any reason, Talkspace will provide you with a prorated refund for unused time. I feel like these days people understand the importance of therapy, but the difficult part is just taking that first step. It took me months to make my first therapy appointment. I was so scared. I had a lot of ideas in my head about it. And that's why I think Talkspace is such a good idea, because making it so approachable will just get you there sooner. Then you can actually get in there, figure out what you need, talk to an actual professional, and be on your way to solving some stuff that you might want
to
solve.
To celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering our listeners $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80.
Go to Talkspace.com/MFM and use promo code SPACE80.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/MFM and enter promo code SPACE80 and get $80 off your first month and show your support for our show.
That's Talkspace.com/MFM. Enter promo code SPACE80.
Goodbye.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Craft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all Made In, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's madeincookware.com. Goodbye.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye.
All right. My near death experience and Twin Peaks IRL.
Oh,
okay. What's your like talisman that if you saw would make you think of your mom?
A pack of Benson and Hedges Lights 100s, soft pack, with a kind of a glistening rust colored lipstick.
Oh my God! Do we have a Lady Bic on hand too? Can I get a Lady Bic?
No, matches. Always matches.
Fuck yeah, matches.
That's why I love that fucking sulfur smell. Oh, I have a very distinct like early childhood memory of my mom pulling up to a gas station. It was full service. So she's like, Ethel, you know, like fucking, can I have $5 of Ethel? Yeah. Rolls the window up and lights a cigarette at a gas station. And then just like, anyway, we have to
and
go.
No one says otherwise.
No.
Everyone's like, great.
Well, it was just me in the car.
And nobody like in the gas station.
Oh, hell no. No, that was back when it was like you could slap other people's children, not just your own. So sliding up in front of a kid was like minor, no big deal. They didn't know it was bad for you.
Oh man, yes they did. I don't buy that. They didn't care. Kids didn't mean as much back then.
Yeah, that's right.
Kids were a dime a dozen.
They weren't as easy to market to, so nobody knew how much money they could make everybody.
Right. So yeah. No one cared about them.
That's okay. Right.
My near-death experience and Twin Peaks IRL. Hi, Georgia, Karen, Steven, and Furry Company. Furry Co.
Okay.
I'm from Albany, New York, and I once almost got my head chopped off with a weed whacker as a child. I was riding by... Speaking of,
first of all, weed whackers don't have blades. They have little pieces of plastic.
Yeah, but they go so fast. They go...
And you're a child. That's
and you're
true.
A child. I was riding my bike, and a clueless groundskeeper at my middle school swung the weed whacker around as I rode by. I happened to duck just in time before I ended up decapitated. Anyway, I recently did some internet sleuthing, and I found out that the series Twin Peaks is loosely... I think that she just added that paragraph.
That's just a fun story of like it. Almost getting her head chopped off.
Here's what happened when you were a kid. Okay, anyway, I recently did some sleuthing, found out that the series Twin Peaks is loosely based off a real unsolved murder of a girl named Hazel Drew. This happened in July of 1908 in the town of Sand Lake, New York, a rural town 10 minutes away from Albany. Apparently, Mark Frost, the co-creator of Twin Peaks, used to vacation nearby as a child.
Ooh.
I've attached a photo to show how crazy similar Laura Palmer looks to Hazel Drew.
Wow.
20-year-old Hazel Drew was last seen picking raspberries on the side of the road on July 7th, 1908. She was found 4 days later nearby in Teal Pond. She had died of blunt force trauma to the back of her head, suggesting she had in fact been murdered. After Drew's body was found, a slew of suspects came into play. Initially, it was thought that she did not have any gentleman callers, but upon inspecting her trunk at home, they found notes and postcards from various men similar to Laura Palmer's journal. Drew's mother seemed to think a man with hypnotic powers lured her daughter away to be murdered.
Ooh.
Others gossiped about a campsite orgy similar to the last place Laura Palmer was known to be alive. Unfortunately, we still don't know who killed Hazel Drew. Hope you guys found this as interesting as I did. Your podcast gets me through my evening runs when I am being a terrible murderino running alone in the dark with headphones in.
Oh, please.
Come on.
Damn it.
P.S. Georgia's recent story. This is what made me laugh. Georgia's recent story of the Morehouse murders, where the Bernies made Katie Moyer dance for them to Dire Straits.
Yeah.
Will stick with me forever as I am walking down the aisle to Romeo and Juliet next June. No. Can't wait to think about murder on my wedding day. SSDGM Marissa. You got to change that song, honey.
That's hilarious.
Sorry about that one.
Yeah, that changes it a little bit. Okay, I just have to say that the beginning of the original series of Twin Peaks, when it is the girl
walking down the railroad tracks in the nightgown, like all ruined, is one of the freakiest and most amazing beginnings of a story. Where you're like, what happened to her? I need to know, you know, like
starting there,
everything about it.
Seeing Laura Palmer's body when I was
wrapped in plastic,
and the coloring and the like the sand and the grit that and like that in that location of this beautiful creepy wilderness.
Yes,
I totally, until I just read that, I forgot how much that affected me as a kid.
It's so, and also just that they go into it. I wish it was more like, it's hard to go into story wise that thing of like that the forest is an entity.
Yeah.
And it is up there.
Yeah.
It's so dense and people live in it and there's all kinds of shit going on
forever.
Yeah. And anything could happen. Anything could happen up in there.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Totally.
It's such a, yeah, that's amazing. And the I didn't know it was based on a true story.
I didn't. I think I had read that and tried to do it as in one of my murders, but there's just not a lot of information on it. So I'm glad she wrote that in because it's still so interesting.
It's so interesting. And also 08, where it's just like
1908. Yeah.
You could Logging kind of town. Just hit someone in the back of the head, kill them, walk away. Start over.
No one would ever know.
Yeah.
And the hypnotic part.
Yes. Which also reminds me of Terry Hoffman, that story I just did where she was it started as a meditation group.
Yeah.
And slowly turned into a cult where she was getting people to kill themselves.
Totally.
Like that idea of using hypnosis.
Yeah.
For evil is fascinating.
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay.
Send your hometowns to myfavoritemurder@gmail.com. And have a good Thanksgiving, you guys, and get that info from your fucking families.
Yeah,
man.
Please. We want all recon. Great letters this week.
Yeah.
This is so crazy. And stay sexy.
And don't get murdered.
Bye.
Elvis, quit eating Dottie's food. Want a cookie?